Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Brower and Brower Show with your host, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Dad is going to begin logging here in a minute. He was having some more Skype issues. So, did I hear something?
I'm here, bud.
Oh, you're here. Okay, he's logged in now. So, we got some interesting stuff for you guys today. This is the first one that I wanted to touch on. Because I get a lot of people that ask me this, and they talk about different foods, because we talk about the organic foods and whatnot. And let me say something, guys. If you're not seeing certified USDA organic or certified GMO-free project stamps that are certified on these foods that are packaged, you're not getting anything special. A lot of people get confused with this whole natural. You think when you buy something that says all-natural chicken, it's better than buying some unlabeled counterpart at Sam's. But the truth is, natural has no legal definition on any type of food product. A lot of companies stick it on there as a phrase, and it really doesn't mean anything. A couple different ones on here. The natural products on store shelves often accompanied by images of grains, produce, or farms, all to imply the food is less processed and better for you. It's not at all. Naturally doesn't mean anything. It really has no bearing whatsoever beyond trying to suggest to whoever's buying it that it's something healthy. Another one that gets people's where it says no sugar added. No sugar added does not mean the product's low in sugar. It doesn't mean it has a good sugar. It doesn't mean it has a stevia in it. It doesn't mean anything. All it makes people do is feel like there's less sugar in the product, which in turn, if you flip it over and actually look at the nutritional content, it's usually loaded with sugar. So that's something you really want to look at. Nutritional facts are a must. You have to read labels. You have to see what's in your food. Then another one on here they always say that gets a lot of people is low fat. A lot of people are still lured in by that whole low fat craze that we saw in the 90s. The problem with a lot of low fat products is when they're really reduced and have a lot of fat stripped out of them, they're having to put something else in that food to make it taste decent. Because whenever you strip all the fat out of something, it usually does not have a very good flavor. And most of the time they're either using some type of artificial flavor or added sugar. Another one on here is real fruit. You see that on a lot of stuff, made with real fruit. Well, that's great. It's made with real fruit, and they put real fruit in it. But you have to think about it. When the product's packaged, processed, broken down, the nutritional benefits of any type of real fruit are null and void. So once you take it out, you're not doing anything.
I've got to add one thing to that, Austin. I don't want you to continue.
Yeah.
It doesn't even mean it's 100% real fruit. It can have 1% real fruit and the rest synthetic flavors. They put on real fruit. It's the craziest bunch of lies you've ever seen. Oh, go ahead.
And that's absolutely right, because real fruit, like you said, they can use real fruit. They can have some strawberry that's mashed up or cut up, and they use that in the process of it. And technically, they're not lying. They're using real fruit in that product. But that doesn't mean at all that the product's safe, healthy, or even has any type of positive benefits from you. A couple other ones on here that they mentioned, too, are omega-3s. A lot of times you see that on products. Has loaded with omega-3s or loaded with vitamin C's or loaded with your whole grains and antioxidants. Again, these are all trigger words that they put on the front box covers to try and make a product seem like it's more nutritional than it is. What you have to look at is it needs to be either organic and or GMO-free, and then you need to see what's in the ingredients on it, because most of these products that put all these fancy, you know, logos, decals, placards made with real fruit, no added sugar, all natural. A lot of times when they're doing that, it's because the product is not very high quality. If you're getting really true high quality organic non-GMO food, they don't have to put that stuff on the front, because the organic placard already speaks for itself more than anything else they could do. So I wanted to kind of address that today, because I've had that brought up to me a lot lately in person and on emails. And I just wanted to say, if it's not GMO certified free or organic, the whole natural, sugar-free, fat-free, whatever you want to call it, is absolutely useless. All it is marketing publicity, and it works great for a lot of people, but don't let it work on you.
You know, I did that show yesterday, and I talked about all the fake stuff. It's fake marketing. It's awful.
Yeah, it is.
You know? I mean, somebody asked me one time, you know, is all of your product, is all of your supplements, are they all made with non-GMO foods? And I said, they're supposed to be. And they said, what does that mean? I said, they're supposed to be. And I said, but I'm not putting that on there because somebody may have lied to me. I mean, we make our products the highest quality we can probably get anywhere. They're all assayed and batch tested and everything else for heavy metals. I can't do any more than that. But I'm not going to sit here and say to you and give you my word, because I wasn't at the farm when the thing was raised. You know, I wasn't at the processing plant when they processed the product. I wasn't there. Okay, I don't know what in the world happens from the farm to the plant. And see, if you tell, if somebody tells you that they have been, that means they've got to control every aspect from the seed to the ground to the fertilizer to the growing to the harvesting to the processing to the plant to the ground or to this consumer. And see, nobody does that. It's, everything's outsourced because no one can actually run these big farms. I knew one company that does that, that did that. Now, whether they still do it or not, I don't know. And that was the company that makes Green Life, which is a product we carry at the office. And it's a barley product, and they own the farms, and they actually harvest their own barley, have their own dryers, and they make their own tablets. Phenomenal product. I've seen miracles with it. But it's really, really pricey. But the reality is that you can't really say that. That's the only company I've ever seen that's actually done that. And whether they still do it or not, I have no idea. I want to do a show. I want to do a study here. Excuse me. I've been running around all day in the car, and now let me get my head on right here. This is from Veterans News Now. And it's on Julian Assange, okay, with WikiLeaks, right? And it's he says that he has 1,700 emails that proves Hillary Clinton sold weapons to ISIS in Syria. And he goes, a vote today for Hillary Clinton is a vote for endless, stupid war. Julian Assange says 1,700 emails in Hillary's collection prove she sold weapons to Syria and to ISIS. It goes on to say, the Iran-Contra scandal almost brought down the Reagan second term. Essentially, Oliver North and the other senior administration officials secretly facilitated the use and the sale of arms to Iran, which is the subject of an arms embargo. This is through the CIA. The Reagan administration officials hoped to secure the release of several U.S. hostages and then proceed from the arms sales to Iran to fund the Contras in Nicaragua. In Obama's second term, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton authorized the shipment of American-made arms to Qatar via her own emails, a country beholden to the Muslim Brotherhood, and then friendly to the Libyan rebels in an effort to topple the Libyan Gaddafi government, and then ship these arms to Syria in order to fund al-Qaeda and topple Assad in Syria. This is why she wanted all of those guys in that movie, 13 Hours in Benghazi, to die, to cover this crap up. Clinton then took the leading role in organizing the so-called Friends of Syria, also known as al-Qaeda and ISIS, to back the CIA-led insurgency for regime change in Syria. Under oath, the Wicked Witch of Washington denied she knew anything about the weapons shipments during public testimony in her early 2013 after the Benghazi attack, even though she admitted to it in her own emails. In an interview with Democracy Now!, WikiLeaks' Julian Assange is now stating that 1,700 emails contained in the Clinton cache directly connect Hillary to Libya and to Syria and to al-Qaeda and to ISIS. Here's a transcript in the revelation by Assange. Here's the question. The questioner's name is Gonzalez. And he goes, Julian, I want to cover and to mention something else. In March, you launched a searchable hard drive archive for 30,000 emails and emailed statements sent to and from Hillary Clinton's private email server while she was Secretary of State. The 50,547 pages of documents span the time from June 2010 to August 2014, for 4 years. 7,500 of these documents were sent by Hillary personally. Her emails are made available in the form of thousands of PDFs by the U.S. State Department as a result of a Freedom of Information Act request. Why did you do this, and what's the importance from your perspective of being able to create a searchable database? Assange said, well, WikiLeaks has become the rebel library of Alexandria. This is in Egypt, right? And so he says, it's the single most significant collection of information that doesn't exist elsewhere. In a searchable, accessible, citable database about how modern institutions actually behave. And it's gone on to set people free from prison when documents have been used in their court cases, hold the CIA accountable for rendition programs, feed itself into election cycles, which result in the termination of, and in some cases contributed to the termination of governments, in some cases taking the heads of intelligence agencies off, literally, ministers in defense, and so on. So you know our civilization is only be as good as our knowledge of what our civilization is. We can't possibly hope to reform that which we don't understand. So those Hillary emails that connect together with the cables that we've published of Hillary, creating a rich picture of how she performs in office, but more broadly, how the U.S. Department of State operates. So, for example, the disastrous, absolutely disastrous intervention in Libya, the destruction of the Gaddafi government, which led to the occupation of ISIS, of large segments of that country, weapons going into Syria, being pushed by Hillary Clinton into the jihadists within Syria, including ISIS. That's all in her emails. There's more than 1,700 emails in Hillary's archive collection that we have released just on Libya alone. That's why she wanted Ambassador Stevens killed. That's why she wanted the CIA base in Benghazi destroyed. That's why she wanted everybody in that base destroyed and killed. That's why they didn't send in helicopters and F-16s that were waiting on the tarmac ready to go. Yep. That's why the drone didn't stop what was going on in Benghazi. That's why the F-16s didn't fly over. That's why everybody was supposed to die. The problem was, those boys were some bad butts, man, who they left in that doggone embassy. Those boys were trained mercenaries, special forces, special ops, and those guys were all about shooting people. And if you watch that movie, you'll see what I mean by that. These guys were just unbelievable what they were capable of doing with a few rifles. And on top of that, who gave the coordinates for the CIA office in Benghazi? The mortar coordinates for that whole office to be mortared. They wanted everybody dead because they had to cover this crap up. Now it's all out there and nothing happened. Nothing happened. She walked. She skated. Obama skated. Obama should be impeached. Hillary should be in prison. All of this stuff should be going on right now. She skated all because of covering up all of this stuff. And she destroyed evidence in an investigation. But luckily, Assange had a bunch of it. I guarantee you the NSA has all of it, and I guarantee you Russia has all of it. And I can guarantee you that as this election gets closer and closer, more and more of this stuff's going to be released. But the mainstream news is not going to allow it to come out because the Rothschild boys are the ones that ordered all of this to happen. They're the ones running the show. They're running scared right now because everybody's had enough of them in this Khazarian satanic mafia they run. Everybody's over it, they're ganooked with it, and we've all stood up now. And now they're looking at us and like, there's hundreds of thousands of them, but there's tens of millions of us. And they're like, oh man, this is really kind of bites right now. This is getting really negative for us. Well, yeah, it is kind of negative for you guys because you guys suck. Excuse my language, but you do. You're awful. You guys are awful. You guys kill little children, you rape little children, you drink blood, you worship Lucifer, you go to Bohemian Grove, you offer things up to Moloch and sacrifice, you go to these really weird dark places that nobody wants to go to, and you do all this weird stuff in your to control the attention field on the planet. You guys are a bunch of sickos, you bunch of perverts what you are, and nobody wants to be under your leadership anymore. It's the Bush, Rothschild, Clinton, Khazarian, Nazi mafia is what this is. And gosh, guys, your time's a-coming. It's a-coming. We have all awakened now. You've awakened the masses, and you've got tens of millions, if not 100 million, people now that are becoming patriots and becoming aware of what you guys have done, including this unbelievable mess with this blood-drinking Clinton. This is a mess that this stuff is going on. So, guys, just, that's how I see it. Your end's coming, gosh. I guarantee you, because greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world, and you're gonna be exposed. Alright, Austin, I'm done with the little rant there. I read this article from Assad. I was saying, I just had enough of this, Ben. I said, this is ridiculous. Alright, go ahead. What's your next story?
No, this is excellent. July this year now has been the deadliest July in 10 years for Chicago. Chicago Tribune reported the new deaths set a record in 10 years and tied with 2006 July. 65 individuals were killed in the month of July. This brings Chicago's homicide total to nearly 400 individuals for the first 7 months of 2016. The number of homicides for the entire year of 2015 were 490. Breitbart reported that May 2016 was also record-setting, and that 400 people were shot and 66 people were killed in that month. They also reported, this is crazy, a total of 2,395 shooting victims in Chicago for the first 7 months of 2016. there were only 2,900 shooting victims for all of 2015. These shootings come in spite of the city's assault weapons ban, a violence tax, apparently, that I was looking up earlier, very strict rules on acquiring handguns. So I've spoken to a customer that listens to us, and it's told us it's very difficult. You basically have to get a card just to buy a handgun. It's not like it is down here in Florida or most other states. And they've micromanaged the number of gun stores in the city, as well as locations of the stores, yet shootings still continue to rise in these areas. It's just interesting. I mean, it's really horrible, actually, but it's interesting to see what's happened over there with the inner city violence, with the restrictions on the gun stuff over the last 20 to 30 years, because that's really when, you know, about 30, 40 years ago, I mean, Chicago was never a extremely low-crime place. But what's happened is the more strict gun laws they try to introduce did absolutely nothing positive for the families or anybody living over there. And now we're seeing, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, almost 70 people dead every single month from shootings. You know, another 400-plus people every single month shot. I mean, that's some really, really aggressive violence. I mean, that's more violence than they're seeing in Afghanistan, an active theater at the height of the war over there.
Well, I guess black lives don't matter to the blacks in Chicago, because almost all these shootings are black on black.
Well, and that's what my next thing was going to say is, you know, all these protests that we see about these cops, and, like, don't get me wrong, some of these cops are out of control, and they need to be completely removed of any type of authority duty, and most of them need to be jailed that act in this manner. But they're going out and they're having these riots and they're having these protests. But it's like, why don't they come together and say, hey, black lives do matter. Why don't we start, you know, respecting one another and trying to come together and have some type of unity and peace in this city? Because it's horrible. I mean, you have kids that are raised up in this. You have families. You have elderly people that are involved in this. And a lot of them can't get out because of the money situation and other problems. And they're stuck in this area. And it's just, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So that's why I urge, as these people that are involved with these Black Lives Matter movements, why don't you start focusing on areas that really do matter, that really do have a significant issue like this, and start protesting these individuals and gangs that are involved in this type of violent behavior? That's going to have way stronger of a movement than going around and trying to protest law enforcement, that most of them are doing their job, honestly.
You're right. See, the problem we have here is the media. This morning I was on with Lou Vickers, former professional baseball player. He's at a show up there in Pensacola, and I try to do a show every 2 weeks for about 20, 30 minutes. And he's got a great talk show first thing in the morning for 2 hours. And he told me this morning, he asked me, he says, Ted, will Trump learn to control what he says and not alienate people? That was his question. Great question. And my response to him was, Lou, Trump is Trump. It's not that Trump says things that he shouldn't say, and other candidates don't do that. They all do that, except the media wants everybody to focus on everything that Trump does wrong. I mean, they can't say anything about his kids. His kids have all turned out great. They can't say anything about his businesses, because his businesses have all turned out great, pretty much all of them, except for the few that have gone under. They can't say anything about his hiring practices or anything else, because he has hired tens of thousands of people. So if he says something about a Muslim or says something about somebody that they say he shouldn't say, they turn it into national news, and every AP wire and every Reuters wire pick it up, and they carry it because they have to. And so it turns into this giant slam Donald Trump campaign, when the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he makes a mistake. Hillary says stuff all the time, much less with her weirdo epileptic seizures or whatever she's having. They don't even talk about that. I mean, she's nuts. The girl, she's possessed. Okay? So they don't want to talk about that. So I told everybody, I said, that's the problem. I said, the media is owned by the banking cartels, which run the country. And so they decide what news is. I tell you what news is. You're going to do the news I tell you you're going to do. And that's what they have to do. And so that's how they decide what news is going to be. And when they do that, they're always going to find every little thing that Donald Trump brought. If Donald Trump takes a fly swatter and swats a fly, they're going to say he's an anti-environmentalist. He killed a fly, and he's a murderer of flies. Okay,
yep.
That's what they're going to do. That's how they've gotten so petty with him. I mean, can you believe they set his own wife up to use a plagiarized speech? That whole thing was set up. If you don't believe that, it was set up. Okay, somebody sent somebody some stuff that was supposed to be original material that wasn't, and Trump's wife had nothing to do with that, because they wanted to tear into her. And I already read you all the stuff that happened while they were talking about that. It's all obfuscation. These guys are masters. Remember what Casey said. When everything every American believes is a lie, then we know we've done our job with the CIA. That's what they're doing. That's how they're living their lives. This whole thing has gotten so ridiculous with the tearing in of Donald Trump and doing all of this stuff that it's almost a joke to me. And I don't mean that in a bad way, the funny ha-ha joke, but in the irony of it all. Hillary has purged 30,000 emails. She committed treason on the United States of America, okay? And they let her skate. I mean, it's the craziest, yeah. Austin. It's because the Rothschilds control the media. And I'm going to say this again. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Back in the early 90s, when Bill Clinton was in the White House, when he was running the scams there in the White House, he decentralized radio. Now, before that, the FCC required that only one station could be owned by one corporation in one given city. So, in other words, one company like Clear Channel couldn't come in and buy every single radio station in the market. Okay? Everybody was like mom-and-pop owned radio stations or individual corporations that people had set up. And when I was first started getting on radio, I got on a booklet. It was called the Radio TV Interview Report in the early 90s. This is ancient history, 26 years ago. And the first time I did this interview report, I took a full-page ad out of it. It was like 100 pages long. They booked me over 100 interviews out of that one page because everybody was looking for content. See, radio has to have content. Like this show that we do, we both spend hours and hours every day, sometimes longer, just prepping for this show at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It has to have constant contact. If I start in constant content, if I start running constant reruns and playing old tapes, old tapes, old tapes, old tapes, my audience goes away. They're like, well, I've already heard all that. I'm going to go listen to something else. You can't do that. So you have to have fresh content all the time. So all of these independent stations, some 10,000 of them, had to have content, content, content. Well, when Clinton deregulated the radio industry with the FCC, he allowed one corporation like Clear Channel to come up and come in and buy every single radio station in a market, like in Cincinnati. So now when you go into Cincinnati, if Clear Channel or one of the other big companies go, oh, we're doing drug commercials now, pushing statin drugs, we don't want anybody on any of our affiliates, which there's thousands of them now, talking about alternatives to statin drugs because our advertisers don't want that because they're marketing statin drugs. So little by little, it started chopping, chopping, chopping down. I would do up to 40 interviews a week during peak seasons like holiday seasons like Thanksgiving or Christmas when people want to talk about food. Or March was National Nutrition Month. I would do 20 or 30 interviews for a week. I did thousands and thousands of interviews doing that from my home. And sometimes I would do tours when we had a book release, and I would travel around the country or a new CD set release, or back then it was audio tape, and I would travel all around the country helping people and doing shows in an RV. Now, what's interesting about this, little by little, all of those stations just disappeared. Management was replaced, show hosts were replaced, and then they came in and they started syndicating shows. So instead of having 10,000 morning drive shows, you would have 5,000 or 4,000 or 3,000 or 2,000 or 1,000 or 500 or 100, and these stations suddenly would have 200 affiliates at one time having one person on. So now they were to control the entire morning drive. The morning drive and the afternoon drive used to be the peak time of radio nationwide. Now, of course, radio is pretty much gone. Everybody's gone to internet like we're doing now. Radio has become a dinosaur, and so nobody's really listening to radio anymore. They listen to MP3s, et cetera, unless they have a show on like Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or our show that they want to listen to. And that's what happened to the industry. The industry has been completely and totally taken over by the globalists because of this. So now they can control everything that everybody hears, which is the reason the FCC had those guidelines to start with, so that we have freedom of information and that nobody could censor the news. Now the news is censored. That's what's happened. That's why they've done what they've done. And that's why they can continually attack Trump, because he swatted a fly and let the murderer, Hillary Clinton, who murdered those boys intentionally, wanted everybody to die there in Benghazi, and those boys died because of her. Let her skate and not stand justice because she's above the law, because the people that run the country, the shadow government, they say she's above the law. Well, golly, guys, we've all said enough of it. We've had enough of it, and we don't think she's above the law, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. All right, Austin, what's your next story?
This is pretty crazy now, what's happening with this Islamic invasion that we keep hearing about more and more. A water park now in France is actually going to hold what's called a burkini day, during which men and women not wearing Muslim swimming attire will be banned from using the facilities. Speed Water Park near Marseille, a city with a Muslim population of around 25%. Now, 25% of the whole population of this town and city in France is Muslim, is advertising a private women-only day to take place on Saturday, September 10th. Notice they're doing it a day before September 11th, just to be a punk about it. Visitors to the water park on this day were required to wear one-piece swimming suits known as burkinis or bath jahabs, which cover the entire body, including the head. What's crazy about this is there's multiple elected officials in the region that are expressing massive outrage over this event. Controversy is another example of how France is becoming massively Islamicized, even as the country is constantly hit by more Islamic terror. Swimming pools have been a flashpoint for tensions with the Muslim migrants doing all kinds of nonsense at swimming pools. This is crazy to me that they're actually capitulating and doing what these people want and not allowing individuals in this country. I mean, last time I checked, France wasn't a Muslim country. Obviously now, they beg to differ. So this is interesting. I just wanted to address that today and kind of let people know how far this Islamic invasion is getting in Europe. And if we're not careful and we continue to allow it and be pacifist and be compliant and just compromise over here, the exact same thing's going to happen. I mean, could you imagine? Just imagine you're wanting to go to Wet n' Wild in Florida. You fly down here. You spend a couple grand on hotels. You come all the way down to Florida. You're excited. You get here, and the whole place is overrun with Muslims wearing full swimsuits. And they say, sorry, this is Islam swimsuit day. You can't come in here without wearing a full Islamic swimsuit. You need to go back home or do whatever you need to do because you're not allowed in here unless you wear one of these. I don't even know how I could respond to that and not go to jail. That's exactly what they're doing over there in France. And people need to understand, if we keep putting up with this and compromising with this over here, the exact same things are going to happen here in America if they have not already started, especially up there in Michigan and other places where it's like huge Muslim population. It's completely out of control.
You know what's funny? Have you ever tried to swim in all your clothes?
It's horrible. You sink.
You sink. I mean, first thing you do is start pulling clothes off and dumping shoes. I mean, if they're really going to go out there, that water better not be very deep, or they're going to have a bunch of drowned Muslims. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have laughed, okay? That was awful. They have to be careful. There may be some drowned Muslims. Maybe they rest in peace or float in peace or whatever they're going to do. But the problem is, I don't know what to say about that because, I mean, how do you swim in a full set of clothes, including something over your face and nose?
I mean, I don't know. Their face is exposed. Head, top of the head, down the neck, everything's covered still.
Well, I mean, if the face gets covered up, then they'll be doing waterboarding on themselves. I mean, how awful is that? I mean, I'm going to change subject. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Muslims, the religion of peace, the Muslims, interrupted a memorial for the Munich victims, chanting at the memorial, Allahu Akbar, okay? This is from Truthable. German vigil holders were engaged and confronted the Muslim group who were out there holding candles and having this memorial, and they started cussing the guys out, which they had to put that in there. They had to cuss the Muslims. Police attempted to quell the escalation, but understandably those who present to pay their respects to the dead were not having none of it. I mean, you know, guys, listen to me. You know, what's up with these guys? I mean, here we are basically having a memorial service for the dead people that were killed by a Muslim, and the other Muslims show up and tell them basically they can't have a memorial service and start trying to break it all up. I don't really know what to say about that besides that's just awful. I mean, you know, and I'm surprised if this doesn't stop, because I know my German relatives over there. You're going to be able to push these guys soon enough, far enough. But, you know, when Hitler got a bunch of these boys killed over there and tapped into their, really wiped out their DNA pretty good, they didn't get them all killed. And there's still a bunch of Germans over there that get pretty irritated about all of this. Because remember, these are the same guys that overthrew the Roman Empire. I mean, sooner or later, they're going to have enough of this, Austin. And, I know my German cousins and friends over there. They're going to say, we're just not going to put up with this anymore. I mean, I don't believe for one second, unless it's a fake election, that Angela Merkel is going to be reelected. Here's an article from the BBC. It's still rejecting white applicants. This is a British Broadcast Corporation. If you're white, you need not apply. We don't want you. It's still recruiting job applicants based on only skin color. Excuse me, despite the controversy over its hiring practices that erupted earlier this year, a job advertisement posted on July 29th states, in no uncertain terms, that the creative access position is now open only to UK nationals from a black, Asian, or white ethnic minority. Are they kidding me? Additionally, the website for creative access attempts to justify the racial discrimination by claiming that media cannot reflect society if society is not reflected in the media. In other words, the BBC wants to reflect racism in society rather than disavow it. Just imagine the backlash if the mainstream media discovered a company hiring whites only here in the U.S. Thousands of reporters would condemn the company until it goes completely under. And guys, this is the same thing they've done to us with affirmative action. It's the same thing they've done to us all over the United States. It's just awful. And, you know, I remember one time, I've seen some crazy stuff of affirmative action run amok when people who are completely non-qualified to be in a position were put into that position and everything goes sideways. What do you think, Oz?
No, that's exactly what happens. We've seen that numerous times down here in Florida when you start having them try and do that, where they have to basically get their quota of specific individuals they need at a job position, and it doesn't matter, qualified, experience or not, they have to fill those gaps. And the problem is you really see service, customer service, inventory management, everything out the door completely because you can't, it doesn't matter, it's not being racist. If you can't put somebody in that position that's qualified, that has the experience to handle the job detail and do it correctly, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get the job done. So you got to make sure you get qualified individuals in positions like that. You can't compromise for any reason, but we've done that a lot now in this country, and it's caused a lot of issues with a lot of companies that I've personally seen.
Well, that's true. Here's another article. Obama administration airlifted $400 million to Iran to free Americans, the four Americans. Seemingly violating the claim that America doesn't negotiate with terrorists, the hostage takers reports have revealed that the Obama administration organized an airlift to transport $400 million in cash, which is a lot of money, by the way, to Tehran, which coincided with the January release of four Americans taken prisoner by Iran. Reports say that wooden pallets stacked with a variety of currencies were loaded onto an unmarked cargo plane and flown to Iran. American officials procured the money from banks in Switzerland and the Netherlands. I'm sure they were CIA slush funds. According to the Wall Street Journal report, this is the Wall Street Journal talking about this. The money was reportedly only the first installment of the $1.7 billion deal that the King Obama administration reached with Iran over an arms deal brokered with the Shah of Iran just before the mullahs took over in 1979. But the payments also came as Iran was releasing Washington Post reporter Jason Riazim and former U.S. Marine Amir Hekami and Christian pastor Saeed Abedin, and I don't know where these names come from. The administration returned seven Iranian prisoners in exchange for the release of the Americans. Obama also dropped extradition proceedings against another 14 Iranians as part of the deal. However, no mention was made of the secret transfer of $400 million in cash to Iran until now. The Obama administration has denied that that amazing amount of cash had anything to do with the hostage release. Guys, that Iranian deal was a bad deal, okay? That was a bad deal. I mean, there's no positive spin on that. It was a bad deal. In Iran, the CIA, all these guys were involved in all of this mess, and it's just a further indication of that these guys who were in charge have all kinds of things up their sleeve. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. There's no question about it. There's a lot of shady business going on over there. I guarantee you, if we found out what was really going on with a lot of this, I mean, we hear about these tiny little snippets of few things that happen here and there. If we heard about all of it, it would shake us. Like you talked about before, if we actually exposed the Clinton Foundation, that one guy even said that, if we exposed
FBI,
it,
yep,
it would bring the government to its knees.
Government.
I mean, that's a strong statement.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the Federalist Society, because they brought all these guys in, and they basically have... They're corrupted. That's just the bottom line. They're just corrupted. They take the bribes and the payoffs, the kickbacks and all the stuff that they like their little boys to pedophile with, and a bunch of perverts and weirdos, and that's what they do. And, you know, they find out what the guy's weaknesses are. If it's, he wants a, you know, a fancy whore, they bring him a fancy whore. If he wants a fancy kid, they bring him a fancy kid. And I know I'm being crude here, but that's what they do. And they find out what they are, then they get them on videotape, and they basically blackmail them. You know, it's like Wayne Allyn Root when he's on the show a few months back, and he said basically what they do is they do that to him. and then they find out, you know, what the votes are and what they aren't, and they don't have to vote every time what they are told to do, just when they're told they have to vote certain ways. And that's how they manipulate them. And they tell them, we're going to destroy your career, we're going to release these pictures, or you're going to be a senator forever and ever, amen, or a congressman for as long as you want, and what we'll do is we'll support you in all your reelection campaigns. You're going to have this incredible lifestyle, this incredible pension, this incredible everything. We're going to make you multimillionaire. We're going to wire money into accounts for you. We're going to give you all the whores you want. And basically, you're going to have this incredible life if you want to have whores. And if you don't, then what we're going to do is we're going to expose you, and you're going to be jailed, and you're going to be ruined, and your name's going to be trashed. So you pick which one you want, A or B. I mean, honestly, guys, think about that. Think about that. Think about if you were put in that predicament. You should have never allowed yourself to go into that predicament to start with, but now you're in that predicament. And so it's just easier and easier for these guys to compromise. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, what's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is pretty interesting. Now, the Organic Consumer Association, known as the OCA, is organizing a nationwide boycott to all of the companies that have been fighting against the legitimate labeling laws that we talked about for GMOs. This is referring to the DARK Act 2 that Obama signed into law, the S-764. And basically what they're doing is, what OCA is asking people to do specifically, is look for the new smart label QR codes that we talked about. And what they're dubbing it is the mark of Monsanto on food products. And if present, to avoid purchasing those products as well as any other products sold by that particular brand. Instead, consumers should look for products that bear certified organic, as I just told you guys earlier, or the non-GMO project verified seal, the same thing I said before. Of course, the surest way to ensure that your food is truly GMO-free and organic is to look for these marks. The basically, the thing that people have to look at now is that all these companies that aren't going to stay certified organic, that aren't going to stay certified GMO-free, that are going to put on these stupid little smart label QR codes or the phone number, call us here, or visit our website to find more. All these companies, by default, you don't even have to question it, were in support of this DARK Act too, because quite frankly, if they weren't, if they were not in support of it, they would already be doing what we were just saying and labeling, hey, this is non-GMO, this is organic. But if they're putting the QR codes, that means they're 100% in support of this act, or else they wouldn't even be engaging in this type of behavior, this shady, shady business. And I don't like that, guys. You know how Dad and I are. We're very upfront about stuff. We'll be direct with you about what we think, these articles, what we think's really going on. This is shady, shady business with these QR codes. First off, a lot of people don't even know how to use QR codes, even if they own an iPhone. Secondly, not the entire population owns an iPhone. And also on top of that, if you're already saying that, oh, click the QR code, the information's here, why don't you just blot out a little bit smaller section, a little bit bigger down, and say, hey, this contains GMO, this contains non-GMO, whatever you have to do. Why do you have to be shady about it and put a QR code on your can? It's just nonsense to me. That's why Monsanto wrote it this way. So I'm really excited to see the OCA is really pushing for this. I don't know if the boycott's going to be effective or not. I know I've already been like this, and the QR codes aren't going to mean anything to me because I pretty much always already go for certified organic or non-GMO food about 90% of the time. So I could care less about getting QR codes from people. I'm not going to use them anyways. But the people that are, take a look at it, guys. Think about it. Do some research on it and figure out what you want to do. I know you're probably the same way, Dad. You're not going to support them either. But it's just something we got to do, guys. That's what I've talked about numerous times. We have to stop supporting these companies with our money. That's the only way we're going to slow down this giant octopus Monsanto from taking over the entire food supply in the United States. And I know that's a strong statement, but I promise you, if we continue to let them get bigger and bigger and bigger with all these crazy GMO compounds and DNA structuring they're doing and spraying glyphosate on everything, it's going to get worse. And once they take over a large percentage, if not all, of the food production, that's it. That's over. You can forget about certified organic. You can forget about non-GMO. They will completely do everything in their power to cripple and corrupt any natural food growers left in the country. And that we're not at that point yet. There's still some really, really big certified organic companies that are floating around. But if Monsanto gets their way and they get their foot in the door further and further and further, there'll be no stopping with them and there'll be no living with them.
Awesome. That's an excellent observation. And the fact that that Monsanto skull and bones mark of the beast mark is on the can, it pretty much tells you that it's GMO, or they would put on the can automatically certified organic.
Yep.
Okay, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's just a fact. So there's really no reason to even look at the QR code. Just don't buy it. It's just simple enough. I mean, if they're not willing to tell you what's in it on the label, then they're hiding something. And they want to try to obfuscate it or make you go digging for it. Because if it's certified organic, they're just going to broadly broadcast it proudly on the label. That's a really good observation, Austin. I hadn't really thought about it, put those two together yet. But you're right. There's no point even looking at the QR code. Just don't buy the product.
No.
And so that'll be their kiss of death because of the QR code, which is, I hope it is. But here's another article out of Wired Magazine. Americans' electronic voting machines are scarily easy targets, and we've talked about this. The extent of the vulnerability isn't just hypothetical. Late last summer, Virginia decertified thousands of insecure WinVote machines. As one security researcher described, anyone within half a mile could have modified every vote undetected without any technical expertise. The vendor had gone out of business years prior. The worst part about the current state of voting machines is that they don't even require outside interference to undo an election. It is possible to have a perfectly secure, perfectly reliable computer. That's true, but in fairness, most computers aren't quite this imperfect. So electronic voting machines aren't ideal. The good news is, it's entirely possible to mitigate any potential harm they may cause, either by malice or mistake. 3/4 of the country will vote on paper ballot this fall, says Pamela Smith, president of Verified Voting, a group that promotes best practices at the polls. That's what we do here at our precinct in Florida. We vote on paper ballots. Only 5 states, Delaware, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina, New Jersey, use direct recording electronic machines exclusively. More than half of the states conduct post-election auditing by checking vote totals against paper records to ensure that the votes are accurate. The problem is that not every state does post-election audits, and even some that require them by law, namely Pennsylvania and Kentucky, don't actually use voter verifiable paper trails, meaning they have no way to complete an audit. So, wow, there you go. By the way, Donald Trump was in Daytona Beach last weekend. I wish I had known. I would have tried to go, but apparently they turned away 20,000 people from his convention that he had in Daytona. This is Daytona. Daytona's not a big town. It's probably less than 1 million people. They had a huge, huge group of people because we're all waking up. And, of course, the media continues to exaggerate the size of the crowds at Hillary's rally, and they're having to bring high school students in with their little gym clothes on, et cetera, to make sure that she has people in the seats so if the camera does turn around that you're basically not going to have an empty room. Basically, she has 50 or 60 people who show up to a there are 50 people who showed up to the Hillary rally in Omaha. 50 people! Are they joking? Everybody hates the witch, but they don't want to talk about that because she's a thief. And we have a neighbor. Every time they have an election, they always throw their Democratic people up in the front yard. We have to look at the Obama pit stickers and everything else. Even they haven't put up a Hillary sign yet.
No, they haven't.
Which I hope they don't do it. I hope they don't. But I've got a giant Trump sign in my yard. It's been up there since January. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, and just to give everybody an idea of that, too, Daytona Beach, the population of Daytona is 62,000 people.
That's right.
So they locked down Daytona Beach. If they turned away 20,000 people from this event, they locked it down. That's why if you guys hear of Bike Week in Daytona, the Daytona 500, the Daytona Supercross, when that stuff comes to town, it literally overruns the town. I've been to it before. It's great down there. It's fun. You can actually drive your vehicles on the beach still. But, yeah, the population of Daytona is not very big. So for them to actually turn away 20,000 people, they locked it down this weekend. That would have been interesting to go and see.
Well, yeah, I would love to have been there, but I would have hated being turned around. But, yeah, but of course, I'm going to meet him anyhow, and hopefully he becomes president. I really do. What's your next one, buddy?
This is interesting now, too. We talked about how the Zika vaccine has already been being pushed through. The researchers from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have developed an even brand new vaccine now that they claim will be capable of treating Ebola, H1N1, and Zika. This is some weird stuff they're coming up with here. The chemical engineer who helped conduct the research in the new vaccine says they're using messenger RNA or mRNA to provoke immune response in the body. This is another one of those DNA-based vaccines that I talked about last week, if you guys remember talking about it. These DNA-based vaccines are really sketchy. I mean, they're really sketchy. They can have some significant, long-term, permanent side effects, A lot of times vaccines can cause brain inflammation, swelling, all kinds of issues. A lot of times with proper nutrition, chelation, you may be able to get that reduced. These DNA-based vaccines, if they don't respond well in the body, if there's some type of alteration that doesn't mesh well, they can completely ruin you for life, if not kill you. And what's crazy is they're massively putting an effort forth now to get human being test guinea pigs, specifically pregnant women, who are almost the most vulnerable when it comes to adverse side effects, to get in this experiment. A paper out of Emory University gives its own rationale now. Get this. Why potentially deadly vaccines need to be injected into pregnant women. They basically state that they have a serious threat, the paper claims, of Zika harming pregnant women, which is why potentially harmful vaccines need to be injected to them as soon as possible in order to evaluate their safety and to see how toxic they are. In other words, women carrying around unborn babies need to volunteer as guinea pigs to see if a potentially deadly vaccine for Zika can protect them from a potentially deadly disease. So I don't know what these guys are doing over here as far as their reasoning skills. Their deductive reasoning is not quite where it needs to be, but injecting pregnant women with DNA vaccines, the short-term and long-term effects of these can be unbelievably harmful. So I really hope no women get brainwashed into thinking that this is a positive thing to go get batch tested with a Zika virus that's never been tested on pregnant women. That does not sound like a good idea to me at all.
Well, I'm going to say something that's going to be sounding weird to a lot of people, but I thought about it this morning. I was talking about it during our prayer time before we prayed. Here's what's interesting about this. You know, when this egg and the sperm come together, okay, there's a spark. I mean, it actually throws off a spark. And depending upon the sperm quality and the spark quality depends upon the arc of the spark. I mean, it literally sparks. They've proven that now. The light is emitted, okay? And then that creates the body that we live in. Now, we're spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body. In other words, our consciousness, our spirit is in our body, but we're not of this planet, okay? We're spiritual beings. I mean, we're kind of like in a skin suit, kind of like that's what we're in. But our consciousness isn't necessarily in our body. And that's why, you know, when you dream at night, you know, sometimes your consciousness takes a walk and starts having these crazy dreams or going these different places. You're thinking, and when you're in a dream, you think it's real, okay? Now, I could do a whole show on this, and I probably will on Hagman next week. I'll be back on with Hagman next Thursday night. But what's interesting about this is, and this is what Russ Dizdar talks about, when you take young children and you subject them to torture, you can split off the personality, and the consciousness literally leaves the body for a bit because they can't take the pain. Now, this gets to be some weird stuff, but this is what they discovered in these Nazi concentration camps when they were torturing these people. After a certain point, the consciousness simply won't deal with staying in that body anymore. It steps out. And they split the personality, and then they can insert another consciousness into it. This is the sleeper soldiers. These are the guys you see on TV. In fact, the Manchurian Candidate. You saw the old movie with Frank Sinatra, another one with Denzel Williams. They put a different consciousness in that person. They have a certain code they give him, either with a telephone or with the dots or dashes or signs or words or whatever, and they trigger him, and second personality pops back up because the second one goes away. The first one goes away. Now, this is what happens in a toxic body. Our bodies can't deal with it. And that's why you'll see, somebody will say to you, my child had these bright eyes, and he was talking, and he was laughing, and he was having a great time, and he was just there. And suddenly, after the immunizations, the second set of boosters, it was like his lights went out. Snap! He was gone. When you have brain inflammation and excruciating pain, and you're laying there in an encephalitic screen for 18 hours, and also the baby's autistic next day, I personally believe, and a lot of other people that are doing the research believe, that consciousness leaves the body because it can't take the mercury, it can't take the toxicity, it can't take the cytokine storm. It steps away. It's a way of splitting and fracturing the personalities, which allows these entities, these demons or whatever you want to call them, to come in and inhabit these bodies and draw energy from these people and these children that have been victimized. There's really no other excuse as to why by 2035, 100% of all boys are going to have autism. By 2037, 100% of all girls, if the current trend doesn't change. This is from MIT. By 2025, half of the children will have autism. There's a reason they're doing this, Austin. They're doing something to our consciousness. They're doing something to our body. They're doing something with these interdimensional aliens, fallen angels. I don't care. Pick a name. This is what I believe they did in the Old Testament with the Nephilim and all of the things that happened. For some reason, this consciousness that these animals or these creations are, they develop, it gets freed up. It needs a place to go because it no longer has a body. This is some of the stuff that gets really in this Narnia place as far as the theology of it. But they're doing something for some reason, Austin, giving these entities hosts, because there's no reason that they would want this many autistic children. There's no reason, Austin. Something really is messed up with this whole deal, all right? And so now that's my opinion. You think, well, Ted's nuts. Okay, well, that's okay. I can be nuts. I don't care. But something's going on. Why would they possibly want half of the children being born by 2025 to have autism? Why are they pushing these immunizations so hard? Because you got to remember, these guys sit around people who are being sacrificed, holding hands and chanting and drinking blood, creating emotional energy to be transferred into these entities and to inhabit their bodies as a host. They do this weird stuff, okay? So they're doing something else here with all these autistic kids. There's a reason they're doing this. The other day, I saw a kid at church, and he was like a year and a half old. And you could tell the spark was about to go. He just had a dull look in his eyes, didn't have a spark. You know, when I look at Hunter, your child, I mean, he's laughing, he's talking, he's trying to read books, he's hanging out, he's carrying on with conversations. I mean, can't understand a thing he says. He never stops talking, which doesn't surprise me and you as his father and grandfather. Okay, but he's got that spark, and you look at his eyes and you go, that kid's got something going on inside that head. But then you see that spark leave after those immunizations. There's a reason they're doing it. Now, guys, send me some emails. If you think I'm right, tell me I'm right. There's something going on. Do some research for us. There's something going on. They want this many autistic children. What is going on? They're not telling us. We already know this whole thing with Roswell and these spaceships and all of this stuff that happened. We know that. You can read the book by Colonel Corso, The Day After Roswell. And these fallen angels have been here. They haven't left. And, you know, and they're involved with this. Remember, they use us for food. That's what the Bible says. Satan runs around as a roaring lion seeking those who may be made devour. And I personally, it's about photonics and light photons. And I think they use that for food and for energy. And I've done a whole show on Hagman on that. I'll probably need to try to do a rerun on that also here on my show one afternoon. But guys, something else is going on that they're not telling us. So anyhow, that's my little esoteric comment for today. What's your next story, Oz?
No, that's a very good observation. We've talked about that a few times now. And that's really one of the only legitimate... It really is the only legitimate rationale you can come to on it. It's just, that's what it is. This is interesting now, though. I just pulled this up a second ago. The L.A. Times writer, Justin Romaldo, he's actually calling out the mainstream media now. He said the mainstream media can no longer report the news rationally because they've ditched objectivity to fight Donald Trump.
That's
right.
Because
they're attacking Trump, and they may soon find themselves covering Trump's inauguration because the public's trust in mainstream media is at an all-time low in history. He goes, an objective observer of the news media treatment of Trump can certainly conclude that reporters are clearly taking a side in this election, and they don't have to be wearing a button that says, I'm with her, for this to be readily apparent. The irony is that media's Trump bashing may wind up having the exact opposite of its intended effect. Because polls show that journalism is one of the least respected professions in the country today, and with Trump calling out the media organizations for their biased, widespread, slanted reporting, is bound to reinforce this point and backfire. Wow, that's a strong statement for the LA Times to put out, considering the fact that they're pretty liberal with a lot of stuff. But, I mean, he called it out, and there's no question about it. The absolute biased nature that we've seen with this political agenda clearly designed from the globalists, written by them, signed by them, and handed off to the mainstream media, doesn't get much clearer, especially with CNN and all these guys.
I thought it was funny that this guy brought
this up.
I think there's probably 50% of journalists are trying to be non-biased. I believe that. But I believe that the head guys in these organizations are very biased because they've been there because they're biased. I believe that 85% of the military is good. I really do believe that. The top echelons of the people that are involved with these globalists are bad. You know, there were a lot of good people that Obama got rid of. Now, the CIA, that's another story. I believe that probably 80% of CIA is bad. Now, I believe they have 20% of the underagents, basically, who are getting into the CIA thinking it's something that it's not, are still pretty good. I don't think you can be in the CIA and be in that covert spy stuff with all of the lies that they do on an ongoing basis and not taint yourself. I don't believe that. I think that 80% of them are bad. But 20% of them are pretty good. The vast majority of the military is good. But I got a funny one to tell you. This is Iowa. And I remember my dad's parents. My dad was from Iowa. He immigrated there, and his father immigrated from Germany in the late 1800s. My dad was born in Iowa in 1901. An Iowa parade float depicts Hillary Clinton in an orange jumpsuit in jail. This is from the Gateway Pundit. They say it's the best float ever. The Iowa parade goers were treated to a depiction of Hillary Clinton in jail. Kyle Julin of Manila pulls Hillary Clinton's masked friend Adam Corky of Olabolt through the parade during the Arcadia Fire Department's 100th anniversary celebration on Saturday, and the group received both accolades and criticisms for handing out water balloons to throw at Hillary. God, oh, I'd have loved to have been there. I mean, think about this. This is central part of the United States. This is mainstream America. This is the heartland, Iowa. And they're throwing water balloons at a person wearing a Hillary Clinton mask in a jail wearing an orange jumpsuit. I think the country's had enough, Austin. What do you think?
Well, it's just like you said earlier, one of the neighbors that we know that have always been just adamant Democrat supporters from Obama all the way down, to date, they still have not put out a Hillary sign. And they've always had the bumper stickers, the signs. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle every single election. And I think even a lot of the hardcore Democrat supporters are kind of like, man, this is just not what we were wanting to vote for. this is not it.
Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this show today. We love you. I appreciate you guys, too. And thanks for buying your multiple vitamins from us and getting our emails and reading our newsletters and listening to the show. You guys are awesome. And my audience, Austin, our audience, Austin, they rock. You got the best emails, best listeners. God bless you guys. Austin, go ahead and close, buddy.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. You guys have a wonderful, safe, blessed night, and we'll be back on again tomorrow, 3 to 4, same time as always. If you guys have any questions, give us a call, email us, healthmasters.com. Thank you so much.